Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the final episode of the Theater Podcast here for 2021. I'm your host, Alan Seals, and this is our 2021 year-end wrap-up. Co-host for this episode is none other than Ayanna Prescott. She's a Brooklyn-based writer, editor, producer, and founder. She's the founder of rbksocial.com, a digital platform dedicated to the people and places of Brooklyn, New York, and hosts What's Up Broadway here on the Broadway Podcast Network. In addition, she's a freelance theater journalist with bylines in Variety, Theater Mania, American Theater, and Exeunt NYC. She's a theater co-editor at the Brooklyn Rail and has several Broadway producer credits, including Passover, Dana H., and Is This a Room? Ayanna, welcome to the final episode here, and thanks for joining me.
Yes, so nice to join you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And then here at the end of the year, I love wrapping up kind of everything that's happened, all the shows that we each saw, and gosh, your job is literally to see shows.
It really is.
Saw a lot of shows. Starting again, this is I'm going to quantify this, right? Because we are coming out of COVID. Mm-hmm. This started as theater came back in like July, August, right? Mm-hmm. So in that time frame between then and now, I've seen 14 shows. You have seen how many?
65.
Jesus.
And I don't know how. The other day I posted, I was like, my final show for 2021. I was really excited about it. So just have a break. 65. Oh, wait. It might be 66 because of that final show. So I did my count before that final show. So it's 66.
That's insane. Mm-hmm. And my gosh. So we've seen so much that's happened and so much that's changed. And coming out of 2020 into 2021, like Broadway's coming back, and then now it's going away again. And there's so much happening right now. So looking back on your experience this past year in 2021, what are some of the highs and lows that you can remember?
Oh my gosh. So right before, you know, the entire like campaign of Broadway is back, Off-Broadway is back, theater is back in general, I just remember on Twitter, so many of us just saying what our first show would be coming back. And I think we all had this idea in our head that every show was going to come back at the same time. We didn't know that it would be a sporadic rollout. And so I was just excited for that first show back. And the first show back for me was Frumasara with Jackie Hoffman, one woman show. Fantastic. And it's literally the perfect way to re-enter the theater scene. All she has to do is like do a smirk on her face and I'm laughing at it. And so the show was hilarious. And it was just like, okay, this is what I needed to ease my way back in. And so from there, I've seen obviously so many shows, but like Passover, that was also one of, you know, like the Broadway return. Mm-hmm. And so that was another joy for me besides working on the show, but like really sitting and devouring the show as an audience member was one of the highlights for me. And then, I mean, so much. There's literally, oh my God, I feel like this episode is going to be so long because we have so many shows.
You and I saw Moulin Rouge together,
yes.
Which was my musical return to Broadway,
okay.
Reopening. So I saw Passover too, which was Broadway's first reopening.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Moulin Rouge, you and I went, and that was a party.
That was
a celebration.
First of all, we got so many gifts. I mean, we had the playbill was stacked because they gave us what, a mask, insert, like a
Thick cardstock insert.
They gave MAC lipstick at the end of the show. There was
like 4 or 5 cases MAC lipstick.
Yeah. I was just like, can I have more? But that's the way to come back. I mean, if you're going to do it, you like do it big. And the show was great. I mean, I've seen the show pre-pandemic and it's a good time. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you're going to see a show to have fun, Moulin Rouge is that show for you.
One of my the high points for me was the six. Well, I saw six when they reopened, and because that I feel like that was one of the most anticipated openings of 2019. Sorry, 2020. And then so it shut down because there were 5 of the 6 queens that were going to make their debut, and then they all came back for the cast and for the reopening here in 2021, and that was just an incredible thing. And have you seen? I guess the other biggest and I guess most anticipated opening was Company. You've seen Company, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh my god!
I'm currently scheduled to see it January 4th, so I don't know. Hopefully that will happen.
Hopefully, it's a time. Patti LuPone serves in that show. I'm not gonna lie. She has on like a bodycon dress, and she's just like, she's just her natural self. I feel like this role, she may be acting, but I think this is like Patti LuPone behind closed doors. Like, this is just like, she's a good time. The show is a good time. And I'm so like, I hate the COVID of it all, because like, this is a show that you want to have a drink to, like what we did with Diana. Like, you had a drink and show, and Company is one of those. And I'm so upset that there's no like, you know, drinking or eating at shows anymore. But like, that's a show you want to have. If you want a pregame before Company.
That sounds fun. Well, now we can't pregame before Diana anymore either.
That show was a good time.
Yeah, I've heard such mixed things about it. I never got to see it on Broadway.
Oh, no. You're going to have to live with yourself for the rest of your life not seeing Diana live. Literally, such a good time. Well, it was such a good time.
So just a quick acknowledgement of all the shows that didn't make their full runs so far. And again, we've only been open for a couple of months here, but Is This a Room with Dana H, Running in Rep, Chicken and Biscuits, the Rockettes Radio City Christmas Spectacular, Diana, we just mentioned, Thoughts of a Colored Man, Jagged Little Pill, Waitress, Beautiful, and Ain't Too Proud as of yesterday, as we're recording this, just announced that they're not coming back after shutdown. Like, this is so sad.
It's so sad. And it's literally the job comes with it. Like, I mean, I feel like we've always known that theater is unpredictable. And while we all anticipate shows having a full, lovely run, things happen. And so because we have COVID on top of regular natural things that may happen, it's very sad that people are out of jobs, and people that work really, really hard on these shows can't see their full run. But I think coming into this industry, we know that like everything is unpredictable. And so I'm really sad about these shows closing. But I look forward to next year. There's so many good shows coming.
What we haven't heard about, and this has occurred to me, was we haven't heard about this in a while, and it was supposed to open with Sing Street. Whatever happened to Sing Street?
Yeah, when the news, that's a good question, because when the news of what was the show that just moved from the Lyceum that was scheduled to be at the Lyceum but then had to
Macbeth.
No,
Macbeth is moving from Lyceum to
yes,
Longacre.
Correct. Right. So when Macbeth moved, I was like, oh, Sing Street is coming. And then we got the Sing Street is actually not coming. But that's a good question. I don't know. I hope it comes. I've heard a lot of good things about it.
Yeah.
We'll see.
And Sonya Taya is involved with that too. Of course, got the Tony for Moulin Rouge choreography, right? So I'm expecting good things out of that.
So if you're listening and you know anything about Sing Street, let us know, because we're excited about it.
Please, 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 please. Did you see only Broadway and off-Broadway stuff? Because I part of the things that I'm counting as shows that I saw was Megan Hilty's debut at 54 Below, her 54 Below debut, and Jessica Vosk's Carnegie Hall debut, which both of which were just phenomenal.
I am the Jessica Vosk is what I'm going to have to live with the rest of my life, knowing I didn't go to. but no, I saw Sis at 54 Below, and that was a time. And she had some great features. I mean, Sis really brings, she's a performer, that's for sure. If she's gonna put on a show, she's gonna bring like the best of the best in the industry along with her. And yeah, like, God, I didn't see Jessica Vosk at 54 Below. Please tell me about it so I can just
Carnegie Hall. Sold out. Guest performances.
The Cookies. I saw the Cookies.
Yeah. I mean, like Marissa Rosen too. Marissa's been singing like as one of her of singers forever. Marissa, I've known for years. Shout out to Marissa. But she's always there supporting Vosk as a singer on stage. And then like there are other guest singers that were who's the tall blonde guy from Pentatonix? I forget his name. I'm having a brain fart.
I know who you're talking about.
But yeah, he was there as a guest singer. Of course, Kristen Chenoweth. She's always phenomenal. Yeah, just incredible. And there were so many others. And then the Megan Hilty show at 54 Below. Megan did, but one of my favorite things was she did a medley of alto lines. Actual alto lines in popular shows of like Wicked and it was just like the most boring. She was doing it comedically. She's like, here are the boring alto lines that you get to sing as an alto, because she was talking about the difference between being a soprano and an alto and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But it was some of the funniest things. I mean, like the comedic timing of Megan Hilty is incredible.
That is crazy. One thing that I will say that Sis did at her show at 54 Below that I thought was hilarious, but so her, she did the I Love You song from Barney, but made it a bop. Like, I'm not kidding. She had us all sing it. She made it a bop. Like, she changed the score. It was just like, I was like, I cannot believe I'm in my 30s, like, singing I Love You. Seriously, she really made it her own. Such a good time.
You know what's different for me that I enjoyed is Neil Brennan's show, Unacceptable, off Broadway at Cherry Lane.
Yeah, that was interesting. But who was your opener at your show?
He didn't have an opener when I saw it.
Oh no. So I heard that every show had a different opener. So they would do like, there was this girl, I don't even remember her name, but she was from TikTok and she was so good as his opener. Like, I was just like, look at TikTok, like discovering new talent.
Wow.
I'm surprised you didn't have an opener.
I saw it early in the run.
Okay.
And it might've actually been a final preview, actually. I can't remember at this point, but, yeah, they could have added that stuff later or just like hit or miss, depending on who's available. They had an opener, but to have a comedy show, and I interviewed him on one of my episodes here on the podcast, and to have an actual stand-up routine in an off-Broadway theater, to me, originally I went in scratching my head. I was like, is this going to work? But the way that he tells a story, he tells a full beginning, middle, and end story, which lends itself to being on stage. And I had so much fun watching him do this routine, the stand-up show.
The show was fun. I didn't know what to expect when he walked out in his robe. I was like, what am I here? What is happening? But it was a full story and it was a good time. And his music, his voice, oh my goodness. I was just like, this is so good. Definitely, definitely one of the highlights of 2021.
What about Pooh? Winnie the Pooh.
Okay, so this is like highlight of a highlight. I was anticipating this show the most, I would say, before it actually opened. When they put out the trailer of these puppets, I was like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm in for. I have no kids. I'm not taking my nephews. I am going alone to experience something that I've loved as a child. And when I went, I was so mesmerized by the puppets that I didn't even notice the puppeteers. Like, it's just that good of a show that it makes you believe that these puppets are live beings, right? And so the story was so good. I got emotional, which I didn't expect to, but look at me again in my 30s crying at Winnie the Pooh. But yeah, the music was good. The story was so good. It went through the seasons, which I loved. Mm-hmm. It gave you every element of each season. So like, I know it's still running. I feel like I don't want to spoil it for people, like the surprise, but like summer, winter, fall, like you're going to get the elements of each season. Definitely one of my favorite off-Broadway shows.
It's interactive. I mean, it's what is it? It's 70 minutes, 60 minutes. It's made for kids. It's the nostalgia wrapped up with the characters. Like you said, the puppets themselves are phenomenal, wrapped mm-hmm. up with the Disney of it all. It's co-produced by Disney theatricals. Mm-hmm. So there's that magic element to it. My 5.5-year-old, I took him, you know, we got the press tickets to go, and he was my plus one, my 5.5-year-old. and so we came out, instead of a program, they give you a board book. So we actually read mm-hmm. it the other night. They give you a board book that explains all of the seasons and retells the whole story in the book and shows you up close behind the scenes of the costumes and all the characters and the puppets. And he loves it. He absolutely loves it. He still talks about it. Like you said, there's a little bit of interactivity. There's some mm-hmm. leaves that fall from the, mm-hmm. from the fly, spoiler alert, during fall, some leaves fall. He still has those leaves and he plays with them all the time. Like we took a pocket full of leaves home.
It's literally an experience though. Like the moment you get into the theater, they like added some elements from Winnie the Pooh to the theater. And the theater is called like 40 Acre Woods Theater, right? Just for this
100 Acre Woods?
100 Acre Woods.
Yeah, the 100 Acre Woods Theater. Yeah, wow. Yeah, yeah.
Like they renamed the theater. It's crazy.
And they have rapid testing outside the theater for
the
kids.
Children.
Yeah. Yeah, for kids. So don't let unvaccinated children stop you. You can go and mm-hmm. get tested right there.
They thought of everything and it's literally an experience. And did you buy a stuffed animal? Please tell me you did. And I'm not the only one.
He wanted Eeyore.
Perfect. Oh, he wanted Eeyore. Eeyore. I got Eeyore too.
He calls it his donkey. He's like, you know his name? I said, you know his name's Eeyore. He's like, no, I call him donkey. And so he sleeps with his donkey. He still does.
I mean, Eeyore, I'm sorry, Pooh, but Eeyore is the best character. And so, listen.
There are so many things in life that stress me out. You know what shouldn't stress me out? Eating. So we can all eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options for all dietary needs. And you can discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and even some drinks to help you stay fueled up. Factor is also celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. Say that 5 times fast. Earth Month Eats. Earth Month Eats. Just remember, these no fuss, no mess meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up. So just simply heat and eat the good stuff. Head to factormeals.com/TTP50 and use code TTP50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code TTP50 at factormeals.com/TTP50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So something else that surprised me that it's closing is Jagged Little Pill. Because the amount of production value, whenever I've gone and when I've heard about it, I've always heard, controversy aside with mm-hmm. the character of Joe, production-wise itself, I thought it was doing well. The perception mm-hmm. was always that it was doing well. So I was really surprised that it closed. And Ain't Too Proud as well. I thought that mm-hmm. would have a much longer life.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know what the the road is, or if there is a specific map for like bio musicals or musicals that use music specifically from like an artist, or, you know, like, I don't know what the road is. And I feel like Jagged Little Pill, what they did so great was create an original story from the music of Alanis Morissette.
Yeah, and the story itself is so good.
Yeah. So like, that's what I enjoyed the most about that show. And I thought it was doing well too. So I was surprised when that news came out. But I know that COVID is really, really affecting shows. I know, or I heard that like every time a show has to close, it's still like $100,000 a day or something like that, that they have to still pay out to the theater owner. So it's like, it's very difficult to like keep having to like close down a show, to reopen it, to close it down. It's very expensive. And so
that's insane. So if you're closed for like 10 days or something, the required quarantine period, then you've got to pay $1 million out of pocket.
It's so much. And you're not bringing in any money because you're not having an audience. And so it's a lot of money. And with all of those elements, I can see why a show says, yeah, we can't do this anymore.
Remind me to be a theater owner, by the way.
Exactly.
Remind me tomorrow to look at the buying a theater.
That's the way to do it. I always said, I was just like, wow, there should be like a rule that you don't have to pay out any money when you have a show that's like closed because of COVID, because it's something you can't control.
This is the argument, you know, to the local government, right? To support the arts and help Absolutely. The industry survive, because the producers of these shows are stuck between a rock and a hard place, because they can't close because they're losing money, but they can't open because it's a public health risk. Mm-hmm. So what are you, like, the obvious choice should be close and pause the show to save the health and do not promote the pandemic. But then they're losing so much money that then the show, as we've just talked about, literally has to close permanently because they can't sustain sitting empty.
And especially, it's so messed up. And especially when Broadway is about the tourists, like as much as we, the locals, go to shows and support theater, we're not the ones running Broadway. The ones that are running Broadway and bringing in the most money are the tourists. And right now, tourism is so down because of COVID. So like, what else is, there's nothing else. It could be 100 locals banding together to bring a plus one to the theater, but it's not enough. You know, you need the tourism to keep shows afloat. And so the only other way is for the government to like now pitch in.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question that may be controversial to some. Is, do you think that Broadway reopened too soon? So there's two sides of this, where there's the business side of it, because this is show business. There's the business side of it, and then there's the personal side, which is like our friends and our colleagues who are literally sitting at home waiting for their industry to return.
Right. So I don't think, here's the thing. Broadway has done some of the greatest COVID management that I've seen. Literally, I traveled to Florida, right? Last week.
Oh, you saw prom, the national tour prom down there, right?
Saw prom, and they are taking the Broadway standard and translating it to theaters outside of New York City. And so the Broadway standard is literally the best. And so I don't think that we opened too soon. I don't know if we expected new variants like Delta and Omicron. That's the problem. While I think that this virus is running its course, especially with Omicron, that's making, what I read in the Times this morning, that it's not making people as sick as before. And so that's a plus. While people are getting it and it's easily transmissible, this one is like serving milder cases, which is what we want, because we literally want it to die out. And so Broadway is doing the very best that it can. COVID safety managers are on it. They're checking your vaccination card. I remember there was a woman in front of me going into a Sherlock Carol. There was a woman in front of me that showed her card, and it looked a little fishy to a COVID manager. They literally took her off the line, let other people through, and spoke to her about why her COVID card didn't look right to them. And so like, they're on it. These shows are on it. The management is on it. And so I think we're doing the best that we can. I just don't know if we anticipated these new strains and what can be done. I think the best thing to do is like close and open, but obviously that's so pricey.
So. Right, right. The closing and opening works as long as you have the government subsidy, which mm-hmm. obviously doesn't, we don't have, so it's not working yet. So hopefully, mm-hmm. knock on wood, we can get some new administration in here soon that'll help fix
we
all of this.
Absolutely need it.
But the whole thing is a gamble to begin with, because you have to, I mean, you can't just flip a switch. Once something's reopened, right, mm-hmm. you can sort of say, okay, tomorrow, yes, the day after, no. But to gear back up your marketing campaigns, your social media campaigns, getting your cast back together, it was more than a year. So everyone's mm-hmm. contract had expired. Everybody had to have their contracts renegotiated. So you've got all of this stuff that has to come back that takes literally months. And in that time frame, there could be another variant. There could be another outbreak. There could be another mm-hmm. mandatory lockdown. And so you have shows like we were saying, Moulin Rouge, September 24th is when they reopened, when we went to see it. That was a complete 100% gamble by mm-hmm. that production team, assuming that nothing was going to stop mm-hmm. or come up in the meantime between then and between when they started in September 24th. And obviously, if Delta or Omicron had been in existence maybe over the summer when they started planning again, maybe they wouldn't have ever reopened. It blows my mind how uncertain all of this stuff is.
Mm-hmm. And I worry more about shows that have a number of cast members. So mm-hmm. like the Moulin Rouges, the Music Mans, who else has a large cast? Like Ain't Too Proud and Jagged Little Pill had larger cast members. And so I worry about that than I do like one or two people shows. So like I saw the last show of the year I saw was Becoming Dr. Ruth, one woman show, when it's in full run, still going, because it's literally one person on mm-hmm. stage. And so I don't worry about those shows too much, but I do worry about, you know, like 10 to 20 cast members all being on stage together with no mask. It's a tough risk that they're taking, but I would still support it.
What do you think is going to happen going into 2022? Are we going to, like, what we don't want is a COVID musical. I don't think we need anything
about... Oh my God,
about...
please do not. Please stop right no. now if yeah. you're writing a play about COVID and all. Please don't. Mm-mm, mm-mm. I don't think anybody wants it.
Nope. No, I like the idea of having smaller shows because they will be able to be better maintained and better run. I think it's less expensive, obviously, to do mm-hmm. smaller shows, so the production team can maintain being closed for longer. So, mm-hmm. but then coming out in 2022, what then is opening that you're looking forward to?
Oh my gosh, A Strange Loop. That's like number one. It's like number one. I would say A Strange Loop and Funny Girl are like, you know, A Strange Loop is right here, and like inches below it is Funny Girl. Theater as a whole are looking forward to these two musicals, but me in particular, Strange Loop and Funny Girl are like, I can't wait. Like, I want to be there. I first preview if I can. That's how excited I am about them. But like, A Strange Loop is so, the journey of A Strange Loop happens so quickly, and I'm so proud of Michael R. Jackson and the work that he's done, because it was literally at Playwrights Horizons, what, a year ago? 2 years? Well, right before pandemic. Then it went to DC right now, mm-hmm. at Woolly Mammoth, and then coming to the Lyceum next year. Crazy. That's not normal. I don't want people to get too excited. It's not normal, but when you have a show like A Strange Loop, this is what can happen. I'm very excited about that. Oh, Paradise Square also. I went to see it in Chicago. And I'm telling you, it's a good show. It's a good show.
Have you heard anything about Once Upon a Britney Spears musical? What's the title of that one?
Once Upon a One More Time.
Yes.
Yes. I've only heard a little bit, because Salisha, a podcaster here, has been posting about it because she's in the show. But that's mm-hmm. as much as I've heard of it. I know that it's another one of those bio musicals that creates an original story. So it's Britney Spears music that ties together and works to be a princess show, Princess musical. That's as much as I know. I am going to see it, but I don't know too much about it.
Yeah, I try not to read much about that kind of stuff before I see them. I want to be pleasantly surprised and go in fresh without any preconceived notions and then take it from there. So yeah, like you, I know what Salisha Thomas has been posting, but that's kind of it. It's just been the Britney Spears musical to in my mind and to many people for so long. And I didn't even know the title until a second ago. Once Upon a One More Time, maybe.
Okay. But also, like, I'm very happy that they're not promoting it as the Britney Spears musical, because that could be a disservice. Because I remember, I don't even remember the name of that musical that happened years ago that was called the Tupac musical.
Yes.
And it used Tupac's music, but it was an original story, and it ended badly because people came thinking that they were getting a bio musical about Tupac, but it wasn't.
That's what I expected about Jagged Little Pill.
Oh, interesting.
I knew nothing about it. I didn't read up about it at first. And I thought it was going to be about Alanis Morissette, which of course it has nothing to do with her. It doesn't even mention her. The only nod to like breaking the fourth wall in that respect is during Ironic, where they're like, that isn't actually ironic. That's, you know, it's like making fun of the lyrics.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, I knew nothing about it. I was so surprised and happy that it was an original story.
I feel like I knew that it was an original story, but I don't know how I knew. I don't know if I read it or what, but I knew that it wasn't like a complete bio musical about Venice, but I don't know why, so I couldn't.
Well, this year has been full of ups and downs. Next year, hopefully, will be more ups than downs. Mm. And just so everyone can connect with you, Ayanna, where can we find you online?
Oh God, I'm a Twitter girl. That's it. At Ayanna Prescott, AYANNA, last name PRESCOD. I am Twitter. I'm on Instagram, but I hardly use it, like, ever. And so, or BPN, literally.
BPN.fm/WUB for What's Up Broadway. Ayanna's the host. And of course, our BKSocial.com. Visit that website and check that out. I'm online at theater_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. You can get more of me at BPN.fm/TTP for The Theater Podcast. Leave a rating and a review wherever you're listening. And thank you. Happy New Year. Stay safe. Get vaccinated. Support your local theaters. Anything else to add, Ayanna, before we say see you next year?
No, get vaccinated and boosted. Please get boosted. Please get boosted.
All right.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Take a deep breath, make the world a little colorful.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.